just minister this word. It's titled Broken, the Human Condition. And it can sound depressing. It's because it is. But there is hope. Amen. Last night, I was updating my BlackBerry, my software on my phone, and they have this, once you start this update, it has this little notation which says, if you interrupt this, or if you cancel this, that your device could become unusable or unstable. Well, needless to say, while this thing was updating, it got hung up, and which means it stopped running. It actually stopped working, so I had to close it down. And so my BlackBerry became unusable. It was, for lack of a better word, it was broken. Okay? Now, broken is something that we're very used to. And I want to deal with this subject real quick. And I always tell my kids, everything man makes breaks. Everything man makes breaks. And if my wife will let me and just mention that my wife has these things that happen with computers. When she'll be working and doing something, and all of a sudden, invariably it's going to happen to my wife. She's working on something, and the computer will lock up. It'll freeze up. Anybody ever had a computer freeze up on them? Everybody with hands. Everyone with hands. If you've used the computer, you've had it lock up on you. That's because everything man makes breaks and winds up broken. Why? That's simply because that is the human condition. Broken. Human condition. You say, Pastor, you talking about me? Are you human? That's the human condition. Okay? Let's pray. We'll get into the word. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for truth. Thank you for your word. And we thank you for your salvation. Lord, that we are so desperately in need of, that you died to give to us. Lord, open up our hearts. Help us to understand, Lord, and make right application of your word by the power of the Holy Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Broken. Dictionary definition says it is a past participle of break. Okay? It means forcibly separated into two or more pieces. Forcibly separated into two or more pieces. So if you've ever seen a compound break or compound fracture, I thought the pictures are too gross to put up, so I won't do that. But it means sundered by divorce, separation. Sundered means to come apart or divided. By divorce, separation, or desertion of a parent or parents, means having been violated, incomplete. Something that's broken is incomplete. Being in a state of disarray. Something that is broken is in the state of disarray or disordered. It also means intermittently stopping and starting, or discontinuous, sort of like our dieting process. We say we're going to diet every year, and then we start, and then we stop. And then we start, and then we stop. And then next year rolls around, then we start again, and we stop. It also means subdued, totally, humbled, weakened, and infirmed, crushed by grief. It's also another definition of what it means to be broken. Financially ruined, bankrupt. Then it means not functioning, out of order. Out of order. Now, there's nothing good about that description, in my view. I don't know if any of you heard anything good about that. And yet it describes the human condition out of order. If you've lived long enough, you have gone somewhere, you have been in some place where you have seen a sign like this. The most concerning situation is when you were running to the bathroom and you got to the door and it had one of these signs on it. But out of order means you can't use it because it's broken, right? Now, whether it's clergy, politics, you just think about the news. Whether it's corporate or the sports arena or the nonprofit arena, we find that man is broken and out of order. The politics, it goes on. Representative from New York, Wiener, we just saw that whole situation. What was all that about? All that was about a person who was broken. A person who is broken. You go to the sports arena, you think about the doping scandals, and Lance Armstrong is right in the thick of it right now because he's being accused, and one of his teammates says, I saw him, we took the drugs together. Now, it doesn't get any more real than that. But what would that be evidence of? It's evidence that we simply live in a broken society, and the human condition is one of where man is broken. And when something's broken, you can't use it for its intended purpose, right? So man is not functioning as he was meant to. Is it any wonder that Paul said in Romans chapter 3 and verse 12, he said, they have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. No, not one. One scribe ran up to Jesus and said, good master, what must I do to inherit the kingdom of heaven? He said, why callest thou me good? There's one good, and that's God. There's only one who's good. Now, as I was cleaning a home on Friday, I had to go out and clean some carpet. I was busy moving furniture around, and so that moves a piece of furniture. I can clean that area and put the furniture back. Well, I went and grabbed this one piece of furniture, and I moved it. And when I let it go, it tilted towards the wall. Why? It had a broken leg. And then I thought to myself, wow, in this house, here's a piece of furniture with a broken leg. And then I thought about my house and your house. And I thought to myself, probably in every one of our houses, there is something that is broken. Do I have anybody in agreement? Okay, so we all agree that brokenness, or this being in this being a state of brokenness, is uniform. It's worldwide. That everywhere there is a place you can go that you will not find something unbroken, right? Every place you go, you will find something broken. And then I thought to myself, so it is with people, as it is with the home, that there is a broken something, a watch, a drawer, a door, a toilet, somewhere there's something broken. Guess what? In every person, there is not a person on the planet that does not have a degree of brokenness that where there is not something broken within. Not something broken within. And so as in every home, there's something broken. In every person, there is something broken. Why? Broken is the human condition. Now, in the housing industry, when you go and buy a house that needs a lot of work, they usually call it something like this, a handyman special. Rob can do handyman work, okay? Maybe Rob could buy one of those. This old boy could never buy one of those, okay? Another term they have for it is a fixer-upper. So you, here we go. Here's a house that would be a fixer-upper, okay? You buy this house, you'll be doing a lot of work. Why? Because this house is broken, right? And let me say this. Every one of us is a fixer-upper. Now, I know we like to think the model of perfection. You look in the mirror and you look and say, look at that. And we like to think we are the model of perfection, but the reality is that there's something broken in every one of us, and every one of us would fall into the category of being a fixer-upper. Amen? Do I have some agreement here? Okay. Well, how did we get this way? How did we get this way? Well, it's real simple. We broke God's commandment, and not without help. Okay? So we're going to go to Genesis chapter 3. And starting in verse 4, you know the story, but I want to read it here. Then the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die." Why? What did God say? God said, he said, "Of all the trees in the garden, you may freely eat. But the tree that is in the midst of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat of it, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." The serpent said to the woman, "You shall not surely die, for God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened." How many of you know that there's some things God meant for you never to know? There is no national inquirer in heaven. Inquiring minds want to know. There are some things that God never meant for you and I to know. "The day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Now, we know, well, let me read on. "So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes." Now, those two characteristics, good for food and pleasant to the eyes, that would qualify, every tree in the garden would qualify for that. Why? Because everything God made was good. And everything that was in the garden, I'm sure it was beautiful, and it was good for food. God made it that way. But the third thing, he said, or what she took from it, "And a tree desirable to make one wise." I don't know of a tree on the planet you can eat that's going to make you wise. May make you a fool, but not make you wise. "She took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings." Okay, so we see the lie of the enemy. He said that if you eat of this tree that God said for you not to eat of, he didn't accentuate that point, but he says, "The day that you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God." Isn't that interesting? Because Adam and Eve were made in the image of God. They were already like God. And so the devil was lying to them. Okay? They were already what God made them to be. There was no way for them to improve upon what they were. When God gets done with us, there will be no way to improve upon that. Amen? Okay, so the devil in this case, the serpent, and this is what I find so interesting about our present day and so interesting about the power of the enemy. Because I was just talking to a young man who got deceived, and he's sitting in front of me telling me, "I did this, this, nobody in this church. I did this, 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 and I don't know." And he's sitting there telling me, and I'm listening to him, and I'm going, "Okay, now how come you didn't know? How come you couldn't see that what you were doing was wrong? How come that wasn't plainly in front of you?" I'll tell you why. The devil, his power is not in the ability to come and you know, scare you to death and put all these things on you or growl really big and make you scared. That's not where his power lies. His power lies in deception. The devil can give you, he can set a drink in front of you of arsenic and make you think it's a cold Coca-Cola. He's the best at taking death, dressing it up, and make it look like life. He can give you the thing that's going to kill you and make you run to it, deceive you and get you in a position, and make you run towards the very thing that's killing you. That is where the power of the devil lies, because that's what he did to Adam and Eve. Because God said, the day that you eat of this, you will die. Now, granted, they didn't know what death was, because death hadn't been introduced into the universe. But God said, you will die. How is it that the devil, after the devil got done with her, she's looking at it and she's mesmerized. She's like, oh, this is going to be wonderful. Guess what? The devil's no different. He does the exact same thing today. And what broke our first parents is what will keep us broken. Amen? So the devil can take the thing that will bring death and make it look like the most wonderful thing on the planet in your eyes. How do we explain? How do you explain? I mean, Congressman Weiner takes a picture of himself and tweets it. The people following you, hello, he tweets this picture to himself. Once it gets out there electronically, you have no control over it. I heard this one young man said, my father told me that if you don't want it in print and sent around the world, don't say it and don't do it. Think about that. If you don't want what you do or said in print, then don't say it or don't do it. If you're not willing for the whole world to find out, don't say it and don't do it. Very good counsel. Doesn't deal with the heart, doesn't take care of the heart issue, but it's still good counsel. Okay, so it goes on, and it says that she ate of the fruit, gave also to her husband, and it says that their eyes were open. In other words, their eyes and their consciences were open to something they never knew before. What was that? Were they like God? No. No. They became aware of something, and the main thing that they became aware of was their own failure. They had never experienced guilt before. But as soon as they ate of the tree, you say, was the fruit magical? Was something great? No, but it was nothing magical in the fruit. It was in the command. Because once you break the command, then your conscience becomes guilty before God. And your conscience not only becomes guilty before God, but conscience means to know together with. To know together with. Con means with. Conscience, to know. And so your conscience bears witness to you about where you are, about if you've done wrong or if you've done right. You cannot run from your conscience. Many people wish they could, but you can't. It dwells with us. God made us that way. And so what they became aware of, yeah, they became aware of good and evil. The evil in breaking God's command. That's what they became aware of. Their consciences were now defiled. Think about it. Up to that point, because it said they looked around, they saw themselves, and they saw that they were naked. The first thing that they were aware of was their physical features. They were aware of their physical circumstance. But guilt caused them to cover it up, or to try to cover it up. Think about it. Up to that point, Eve was a good wife. Before they ate of the tree, Eve was a good wife. After that, Adam said, the woman you gave me. See? Now after they ate of the fruit, Now she's to be blamed because Adam hadn't said anything negative about her before, but all of a sudden now she gave it to me. She's the one. Up to that point, they were at peace with themselves, but now they were fearful, running around scared, running around with no peace. They had no peace in their own heart and their own conscience. Up until that point, fellowship with God was something that was welcomed every day in the cool of the day. God would come down into the garden, and he didn't come down to play with animals. He came to be with Adam and Eve. Up until the point that they ate from the tree, when they ate, after they ate from the tree, instead of running to God, they ran from God. That describes a broken person. See? And broken people all over the planet today are running from God. They're running from God. You say, well, a lot of people don't even know it. Yes, they do. They run from his commands. God said, thou shalt not steal. Don't covet. Don't bear false witness. Don't commit adultery. All these things, idolatry, and all these things people reject. They run from God. So Adam and Eve knew it was inappropriate to be naked. They tried to cover themselves. How do you know that we're living in a world where brokenness is everywhere, where people are broke? How many have ever done anything wrong? Now, you only have to lift your hands, okay? But now watch this. The moment you did something wrong, how many of you don't have to raise your hands. How many of you felt an instant desire to then go and cover up what you did wrong? Listen, it's almost innate. You don't even have to think about it. The moment you do something wrong, there comes this propulsion. It's the same thing that happened in Adam and Eve, you see. And so when John Ensign, senator from, I forget which state, Colorado, I believe, had an affair, that his campaign gives his mistress $100,000 because that's going to cover it up. You see, we're just like our first parents, Adam and Eve. And this is the human condition. This is me, you, everybody. We're broken. We're broken. You say, but Pastor, I'm saved. I'm born again. I'm religious. The Catholic Church, for 30 plus years at least, when one priest abused a child here, they simply took the priest out and moved him over to another diocese or parish and covered everything up. Everything's fine. Just move him, get him out of there, move him over here. And then this priest abuses someone, get him out of there and move him over here. What's that? That's cover up. You don't deal with it. You just cover it up. Because that's what broken people do. That's what Adam and Eve did. Except for they use fig leaves. Only problem with that is once you pluck a leaf from a tree, it no longer gets moisture. And your fig leaf may be flapping around today, but when that thing dries out, crack, 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 boom, and your fig leaf is gone, and you are exposed again. Okay? And so what that means is that, like I said, everything man makes breaks. It's right there in the fig leaf. See, they sewed fig leaves together. Listen, by the way, that's the first thing man made in Scripture. That's the first thing man made. The first thing man made was trying to cover his sin, and it didn't work. See, it didn't work. They made themselves coverings. And you can't cover it up. I think it's, I forget which county, county executive, and it's so sad. All of these issues are sad. When I bring up people's names, I don't mention it to It's a shame about you. It just breaks your heart. Jack Johnson from over here in Maryland, who when the police came upon his home, he called his wife, said, take the $100,000 check, flush it down the toilet. The police are on their way to the house right now. Take the $79,000, stuff it in your drawers. Stuff it in your underwear. He told his wife, when the police come through the door, hear his wife trying to get $79,000 into her underwear. Yeah, that's funny, isn't it? Okay, but it's the truth. And what were they doing? They were trying to cover it up. Broken. That's what broken people do. And so what we see is, we see the fact that man can't fix this. Man cannot fix this. I tried to make it as big as I could get it. You cannot fix yourself. Now, we're all broken. Every human being is broken. And the lesson from Adam and Eve, from Genesis chapter 3, for Adam and Eve was, you cannot fix yourself. They tried it. Matter of fact, nothing on earth could fix what they broke. Did you hear me? I said, nothing on earth could fix what they broke. Because they broke the commandment of God. There was nothing that they could do to fix their condition. What's their condition? They're broken. They're going to try and fix their condition. Yes, man has been trying ever since to fix his condition. I got on a website and it talked about 5 ways to deal with guilt. And I thought to myself, and it's a psychology website, and I thought to myself, this is going to be interesting. And so they began to list some hypotheticals and talked about this one situation, and the psychologist actually said, well, you should not feel guilty over this. And I thought to myself, well, then, who made you God? Because people are feeling guilty over this. I'm not going to go into it because I just don't want to get into that in this sermon. But, and so he said, you ought not to feel guilty for this because this is nothing to feel guilty over when I know full well. That the reason why they're feeling guilty is because God didn't make you to be in that situation. Then he named another instance where he said, now you should feel guilty over if you eat 5 chocolate bars. Your conscience then, you're going to feel guilty because, you know, if you didn't eat 5 chocolate bars, you would have the benefits of lower weight and longer life expectancy, on and on and on. And I was thinking, wow. He was comparing apples and oranges, and the first situation was of much larger influence, affecting generations, versus eating a few chocolate bars. Not to mention the fact that I eat 10 chocolate bars. That's a joke, okay? All right. Now, okay, let's go on. So you can't fix yourself. Genesis 3:8. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. So we see here Adam and Eve, they're broken now, in a state of brokenness. They're broken by their sin, by their breaking the commandment of God. When God created them for his presence, in other words, he would come down in the cool of the day, he would come down to be with them. Now that very reason, that very purpose, they are running away from it. That's what brokenness does. That's what being broken does, broken by sin. The moment Adam and Eve sinned, their relationship with God and one another disintegrated. The moment they sinned, their relationship with God and one another disintegrated. In other words, it was broken. So instead of going to meet God, they were hiding from God. Okay? A broken person is a person hiding from God. A broken person is a person hiding from God. And we see it going on everywhere, especially in fields of science where we've like to disprove the existence of God and say he doesn't exist and we have all this value. Christopher Hitchens, a prominent atheist, says, I only believe in what I can measure. You only believe what you can see and measure. Well, there's a lot that we could say about that. Other people, not me, could say. However, what we see here in this passage of Scripture, that God came looking for his broken people. Okay? It was God who came down in the garden, was walking in the garden looking, not looking for Adam and Eve, he knew where they were, but he came down, even in their brokenness, God came down for his broken people. Even in our brokenness, God came down for you and I. For you and I. So, the whole world is broken. All the people in the world are broken. But the good news is that God came in search of broken people. Jesus said, I came to seek and to save that which is lost. I came to seek and save. None of us were clawing for God and saying, oh God, would you come help us and save us? We're broken. We don't know what to do. As a matter of fact, most broken people don't know that they're broken. Hello? Most broken people do not know that they're broken. And then others, as Adam and Eve did, once they know that they're broken, they try and find alternative ways to fix themselves than God's way. And that would make sense because man could never come up with the way God came to fix man. But instead of going to God, man looks for his fix in himself. We've already said that you cannot fix yourself. And so it says here, let me move on to verse 9. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said, where are you? So he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. So we see two things happening here. Because of the knowledge that they had received. The knowledge that of good and evil that they had received was that they were aware of their own nakedness, not only their physical nakedness, but their moral nakedness, their spiritual nakedness. Okay? They were uncovered. Right? Man was not made to feel fear. You were not made to ever experience the emotion of fear. God made us to dwell in his peace forever. But fear came, and fear initially came into man's existence and into his heart as a result of the knowledge of his own undoing, the knowledge of his own nakedness. Man was not made to hide from God. Adam and Eve were hiding from God in their attempt to deal with their nakedness. Right? Man was made to fellowship with God and be dependent upon him for everything. Man was made for fellowship with God and be dependent upon him for everything. But broken man doesn't like to do that. Man likes to look to other things for their enjoyment, for their entertainment, for their happiness. At least they think it will bring them happiness. So as we were singing that song, Lord, you are more precious than silver. Now, I'm sure it's happened, but I've never seen anybody holding up a roll of quarters and singing to the pack of quarters. Quarters. Oh, you make me feel all right. You know, come on. And I'm sure, you know, there was a story growing up about a man who would sit there and constantly count his gold. I forget that name, but all he would do is he would go down and he just keep counting his gold. But gold and diamonds never reach out their arms and put them around you when you're in a time of need. Now you say, well, of course it doesn't, Pastor. You know, why would you say something like that? Well, because though we say, of course not, yet in how we live and in practice, that's how we live. All right. Man was broken because he broke God's commandment. Man was broken because he broke God's commandment. So broken, the human condition, we are broken because we break God's commandment. Every child of Adam and Eve were and are broken. Man's rule and dominion over the world was broken as well. That's why we live in a broken world. That's why we live in a broken world. Okay. And then I'm not going to go through the judgments. God judged the serpent, he judged the wife, he judged the man. We know the judgments. Then in verse 15 comes the great and first teaching of the gospel in the scriptures. God said, I will put enmity between your seed and the seed of the woman, and that the seed of the woman will bruise your head, you will bite his heel. And so we go through that, but there's this one scripture that I love so much, and I've shared it before, in Genesis 3:21. So what we see here is that only God can fix you. Only God can fix you. So what does that do but underscore the value and the need for our relationship with God? Now, we all recognize God is the great initiator. You didn't run after God. God came after you. Come on. And his love, he said, with cords of love, I have drawn you unto myself. Man's part is then to respond to God. Man's part is to respond to God. And so God now comes with this great fix. Obviously, God would have seen Adam and Eve. They get these fig leaves. They tan them off the tree. And the Bible says they sewed them together. So here's Adam and Eve. You know, they're sewing and carrying on and got this little apron of fig leaves going all around here. She done got this fig blouse, you know, made of all fig leaves, and yet this thing is cracking and it's coming undone, and so they're exposed again. Now, what's interesting about this passage of scripture, let me read it. Also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. He made tunics of skin and clothed them. Notice that God did not ask Adam and Eve, do you want me to make you a covering? The thing that they needed most of all. Why? Because as soon as they sinned, the first thing that they did was they saw they were naked, they immediately began to cover themselves up. God didn't ask them if they needed a covering, if they wanted a covering. Adam and Eve didn't ask God for a covering. The scripture says that God initiated this and he made them a covering of skin. And this agrees exactly with what the New Testament says, where Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, and Jesus noted again, he said, no one came up to heaven to bring the Son of God down. He said, I have come down to give my life for the world. He initiated this. God, through the Son, initiated this. And so God makes a covering that would last all the life of man, all the life of man, where fig leaves couldn't and wouldn't. And so I say here that he saw their feeble attempts and did what they couldn't in a way that they wouldn't. God did what Adam and Eve wouldn't in a way that they couldn't. Okay? They could not cover their sin, and they definitely would have never thought about what God's remedy for their own sin. And that was that. Now notice, and I love if I'm going to read what the commentaries say here in a second, but notice this. God said, in the day that you eat of the tree, in that day you shall surely die. But watch how God snatches victory out of the hands of the devil and applies it for himself. At the time that Adam and Eve sinned, think about it, no animal had died on earth. That's hard for us to imagine. But there was no death on the planet. There was no death on the earth. Everything was living, everything was thriving. Why? Because death had not entered. And Romans tells us that death entered through man. Nothing had died. But God said, the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. To snatch victory out of the hands of Satan, God goes now and takes an animal. He's the first one to kill or to bring death on the earth. God is the one who does it. Now, Adam and Eve sinned, and they died spiritually, but they had not died physically. God is the one who initiates the first death, but in that death was a type and a symbol of his son Jesus Christ, who through death would take the victory and power over death out of the jaws of Satan so that man could be prepared for heaven and live forever. Do you see that? God was the one who took a lamb, skinned it, took its skin, and we know that lamb died. And with that skin, he made, well, some of you have wool jackets, a wool skirt. With that skin, he made a covering for Adam and Eve that covered them, their physical parts, but through blood sacrifices, as I believe that happened here, he would have also covered their moral failure, you see. So God is the one who initiated and brought about the first death. Let me read what one commentary says. Man had discovered his nakedness, and God provides him with a suitable covering. He was to be exposed to the variations of climate, and here was a durable protection against the weather. But far more than this, he had become morally naked, destitute of that peace of conscience, which is an impenetrable shield against the shame of being blamed, and the fear of being punished. And the coats of skin were a faithful emblem and a manifest guarantee of those robes of righteousness which were hereafter to be provided for the penitent in default of that original righteousness which he had lost by transgression. One other commentary notes that as Adam and Eve needed clothing, as soon as they fell, and death had not yet as made any ravages in the animal world, it is most likely that the skins were taken off victims offered under the direction of God himself. And in faith of him, speaking of Jesus Christ, that's what that lamb pointed to, who in the fullness of time was to make an atonement by his death. And it seems reasonable also that this matter should be brought about in such a way that Satan and death should have no triumph when the very first death that took place in the world was an emblem and type of that death which should conquer Satan, destroy his empire, reconcile God to man, convert man to God, sanctify human nature, and prepare it for heaven. So in the sacrifice that God made with that first lamb, pointing to the Lamb of God, where John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. That's what that lamb pointed to. And that is the fix for broken man. This lamb, this sacrifice, that is the fix for all of us who are broken. My prayer is that we, along with many others, will continue to look to the Father, our God and Father, who has provided atonement for us through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And I pray that we would never find refuge in the feeble attempts of man to provide for his own salvation. That's my prayer for us. Let's stand to our feet. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for truth. We thank you, O God, that in our brokenness, in our failure, Lord, that you provided a way for us, Lord, to be restored to you in relationship and fellowship, Lord, through the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ himself, who takes away the sin of the world. And Father, I pray, Lord, that our hearts will continually be warmed by the reality of who you are and your presence, and that we would grow in reliance upon you each and every day, Lord, until you return, O Lord, or until you come to take us to be with you. I give you thanks for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.